What's up, guys? It's Kels. I'm your host. Welcome back to Redefine Fitness. Today's episode is actually super special because we hit, since I last chatted with you guys, 1 year. 1 year of Redefine Fitness, the podcast birthday, my podiversary, whatever we want to say. And I am just so, all the feels, sentimental, mind blown, proud of myself. So fucking grateful for every single one of you has listened to even one episode. And very reflective, of course. And this episode was meant to be all about, you know, recapping the last year of making this a reality and kind of lessons that I've learned. And I think I will share some of that. And I also have a really big announcement, just some news to share with you, but I'm going to share that at the end. Now it's kind of a little anticlimactic, but I just don't think it'd be right to like drop that right now. So we're going to just wait till the end of the episode to talk about that. First and foremost, as happens sometimes, and in the very fluid nature of me doing this and how I've been doing it, when I sat down to record, something else popped into my mind. And so I felt like, you know what? We're going to chat about that first because I feel like that's what I'm meant to talk about with you right now. And the topic is anxiety. Now, look, I'm a human that experiences anxiety, and odds are so are you to some extent or have at some point in time or will. It's something that I feel like we've talked about that's kind of just been woven into almost every episode, but I don't think, and I could be wrong, honestly, but I don't think there's been like an episode more dedicated to speaking about this particular mental health reality that so many of us are facing today. And most importantly, like, I don't think this will be super long, but I really just felt compelled to share a little bit more background on my own anxiety journey. Well, pieces of it. I'm not comfortable sharing all of it. And most importantly, I wanted to share like tools that I employ when I am in like a deep panic, and what works for me, and then tools that I use in general to, you know, maintain my mental health and live with anxiety in a healthy way. So I want to do that. It's been a minute, but I do want to begin with a poem. This poem is one that I remember writing, like in the wake of a panic attack, and it kind of helped pull me out of it actually. And I never thought I would share this with anyone, except Rye, but it just popped into my head today and I just feel really comfortable. I feel like maybe this would help illustrate, or kind of just give a feel to what it can feel like sometimes, just hopefully to help any of you who could relate to any part of this know that you aren't alone. The poem was written for context at two points. The first half was kind of what I just described, and the second half came a little bit later. And you'll see, as most of my poems do, there's kind of like a hope at the end. I always try to look at life through a positive lens, not in the way of toxic positivity, pretending everything's great, but in the way of understanding that there are always positive perspectives and power in deploying positivity to our perspective in any given situation or coming out of or in the wake of any experience. My greatest breakthrough in my anxiety journey, to be perfectly honest, has been being loved by my husband. He experiences anxiety as well, and he saved me. And, you know, I can't really put it more direct than that, but I think it's important. And I have talked about this before. I've mentioned how like he came and like could see me before I could see me, and he loved me before I could really love me. And I'm so lucky and so grateful, but I do want to share that like with this poem, the feel and the hope, my hope is that you will get the feel that you aren't alone, whether you have one person who you can allow to see your shadows or to share your burdens with, whether that's a therapist, a parent, a dear friend, a partner, I just want you to know and feel that you aren't alone. So, yeah. Okay, so I just named it anxiety. I wake to the weight of it. I live in the fate of it. Thoughts are tied in knots so tight, the pressure on my chest. I'm here yet somehow there, standing precarious upon the ledge. Toes and hopes alike, clinging for life right on the edge. You okay? They say as if I'm not begging to know the same. Is the beauty of my life in things or in spite of all this pain? Is this cage inside my mind my own design? Am I insane? All good. I should know better. I should be better at this existential game. I cry, yet it's with eyes dry. My panic ravages my brain. Falling, I'm failing, feeling for something. Then right in time, you came. Your eyes shining like silver lining in the way your presence whispers softly, steady, it is okay not to be okay. You shined your light so bright into the corners of my mind, your love a knife through all my shame. With the way you live, you show me there are other, better ways. With the way you love, you heal me. There are other, always better days. And in every touch, you say, you don't always have to play pretend with me. Show me your maim. I see you. And I love you. Every part of you, all the same. It can be rough. I think there's a lot of power in sharing these things. As I always say, connection, I believe vulnerability brings connection and connection brings healing. And that's kind of the premise upon all the things that I share. And there's also an awareness that I think my experiences and like just personal learnings and studies and books I've read and things, I've just come to understand that there's time to share things in a healthier way. And when you're at a healthier point with those things where they're no longer eliciting or triggering that trauma, but you can share them from more generally or more openly when you are at a healthier place in relation to what you've been through. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but a lot of what I've shared in the past year on the podcast has been very obviously personal, vulnerable, deep, whatever you want to call it. And some might think too much so, but this isn't for them. And I'm not doing this for them. And I've known because you guys have graciously shown and told me in DMs and comments and emails and that there are pieces and episodes and things and experiences and learnings that I've shared that have helped you feel not alone, that have helped you connect or feel connected to more, back to your truest self, to me, to other women, to humans. And that is so beautiful. Like I mentioned before, anxiety is so prevalent. Just because it is so normal in our landscape does not mean that it's not a big deal. And I think a lot of people don't give themselves permission to even accept that they're struggling with anxiety or allow themselves to understand or learn how to cope with it in a healthy way because they're playing it down or pretending like it's run of the mill or that they're silly to bring it up because, oh, who doesn't have anxiety, right? Everything causes anxiety these days. But ultimately, we can't learn to live more healthily if we are gaslighting ourselves into like thinking that it's all good, that we're really fine, that it's no big deal. That's not fair. And you deserve more. And whether your anxiety is exceptionally prevalent and affecting your day-to-day life, or seldom, or constant, but at a low level with peaks of intensity, or whatever it looks like, I want you to, first and foremost, just bring awareness to your truth right now in relation to your mental health, particularly if you have anxiety and how you personally experience that. And second of all, which I'm such a hypocrite, but I would encourage you to go seek help if it is to a point where it is affecting your day-to-day life, please, there are so many great resources and tools and psychologists and therapists and different things that you can try. I say I'm hypocritical because I haven't done that for myself at really any point in my journey. I mean, I have. I've used a lot of resources, but never was there a point, especially at my worst points, where I went to a therapist and said, I need help. And that is something that I do regret, because I see the value in it immensely. And my point is, you are deserving of all of the help that you need, whatever that looks like, whether it's deploying some of these tools that I'm about to share with you, whether that's going to therapy, whether that's whatever it looks like. Please put yourself first enough to be aware and be honest, to accept where you are, and then take action, because our mental health matters the very most. Our mental health matters the very most, and I'll never stop advocating for that or saying that or talking about that. So I've had anxiety my whole life. I mentioned briefly on here that I have a very severe life-threatening anaphylactic allergy to nuts and peanuts. And it wasn't until adulthood, as is usually the case, or usually my case, that I realized that, like, of course I had anxiety as a child, because it's almost like a level of paranoia that you have to carry, because when you have an allergy that severe, that even, you know, going to a friend's house and their little brother made peanut butter on the counter before you got there, and you lean your hands on the counter and then you touch your face and you're breaking out in hives and you're wondering if you're going to go into anaphylactic shock and you're being rushed to the hospital and you could die and you don't know from what, because you didn't even eat anything that had a nut or could have had a nut, or did you? Maybe you did and you didn't realize. So it's just like this constant, my parents were so incredible at teaching me and helping me through this. And I've said before, but I think, like, I would 100% rather have the allergy than be a parent of a child with the allergy. I mean, gosh, as a parent, I just can't imagine. But as someone who experiences an allergy and has, you know, my whole life in memory, I was 18 months old when these allergies developed. And it's scary. And of course, looking back, it makes sense that I had levels of anxiety even as young as I can remember. And I didn't realize that certain things weren't normal. And I think that also played into my OCD and other, I don't want to say issues, but other realities that I've experienced in my life and experience in my life. But yeah, basically my whole life I have lived with anxiety, whether I was aware or not, and to different depths at different times. But most certainly, as I've shared very, very honestly and openly and widely in my postpartum period of life, it was a whole next level in a whole new way. And I think it was just very, very unexpected. But the biggest time that I remember, like, facing my anxiety was actually when I was a freshman in college. So, like, 17, just turning 18. This was also when I was falling in love with Ryan. I was actually diagnosed with an anxiety disorder my freshman year of college. I lost a lot of weight very rapidly my freshman year, and a lot of people chalked it up to an eating disorder, which I did have disordered eating. But actually, the disordered eating was kind of spurred by so many people commenting on how I'd lost weight and how great I looked, and me wanting that validation and seeking that validation and not being able to see that in myself. And I got to a pretty dangerously low weight for my frame. I believe my lowest weight was 110 pounds, and I'm almost 5'7". I could see my ribs in the mirror, and I still had the desire and, like, truly thought that I just need to lose a few more pounds. And that's all about, you know, distorted body image. And that goes into other things I've talked about, which please refer back to the episode, How Can I See Me, if you want to hear more about that and my experiences with that. But long story short, I was losing weight because I was so exceptionally anxious that the thing is your physical body takes the toll. So even though this is something happening in my mind, at a certain point, so many things happen in your life. And I remember my doctor explaining to me in a really cool way. He was like, look, tell me about like what's gone on in your life like in the last 6 months. And I was like, well, you know, I graduated high school. I moved out of the house for the first time. I have my first serious boyfriend. I'm in love for the first time. My older sister, who's my very, very best friend, is engaged. She's going to get married. I feel like I'm losing her, but I'm so happy for her. I started college, my first college classes I've been taking. And I mean, just I'm listing all these major life events. And he just looked at me and he's like, and I was like, but I'm happy. Like it's, but these are good things mostly. And he was like, you know what? Good or bad, your body can't actually tell the difference. So when you have a big life situation, whether it's like a marriage or a college graduation or something super good or something bad, your body and the chemicals in your mind, like it's a big deal. And either way, your body's going to keep the score. And either way, you are being stressed. You're under stress. And so one thing compounded after another, and I was just put through so much stress at this young, delicate age. And my anxiety disorder happened to manifest, he described, in my stomach overproducing acid. So basically, I was like eating the lining of my own stomach because I was just producing tons and tons of acid. And that's obviously pretty dangerous, and it made me very sick. So I couldn't eat. I constantly felt sick, like stabbing pains in my stomach. And then I would get so hungry. So I would finally eat something. But every time I ate something, I would either throw up or have diarrhea within like 20 minutes. And it was this vicious cycle of just always feeling sick. I remember, you know, Ryan knew the most about it because he was the one spending the most time with me. And he was so sweet. He would always make sure that I ate. I mean, he would drive the hour between his college and mine down to see me every single Monday through Thursday. And he would say, what are we going to eat? And I'd say, I'm not hungry. And he would like not rest until we'd eaten something, whether that was taking me out to get whatever fast food I wanted or whatever restaurant I wanted. Or so many days we just ended up at the grocery store and we had this game and he was like, we have to find it. So he's like, we're going to walk around this grocery store until you find something that you feel like eating. Anything that sounds good to you. One day it was like cake and pickles. but it was just, it was beautiful the way that he cared for me. And of course we didn't realize, you know, finally went to the doctor. My mom was worried about my weight as she should have been. And I was defensive about that and sad about that, but then it led to this diagnosis and a lot of understanding. And so that is huge. And I got on a medication and it wasn't actually an anxiety med. It was like a acid blocker for my stomach. And it helped me physically be able to heal. But in tandem with that, I needed to, you know, practice managing and coping skills. And so I did. But that hopefully might color that poem a little bit more with the context there. But I think, you know, looking back overall, and certainly in the, decade and a half since I was a freshman in college, which is so weird to think it's been that much time, I have come a long way. I've been through a lot. I've certainly had times where anxiety has been just as fierce or prevalent, but I have been able to navigate it so much more healthily. And that's what I wanted to kind of share with you guys. So first I want to talk about like in the peak of my anxiety. These are things, I know that there are medications that can work miracles, and I'm in no way, I want to make it clear, I'm in no way against using modern medicine. If that is what is right for you, if that is what works for you, I haven't ever done that. And so I'm just sharing from my point of view, the tools that I use that have helped me and that still to this day I turn to. I've learned some of these through reading books, through looking up things on the internet, through my own trial and error, all of them, certainly. But most of this is self-taught. And I have a little list of four. So the first one is actually challenging your thoughts. This one is really powerful for me because a lot of times, sometimes it feels like my anxiety comes unattached to a thought. It's just like overwhelming panic. But usually there is a root cause. And the more that I've gotten in tune with myself and the more honest I've been with myself and come into myself and been authentic in my life, the more I do realize what thoughts are triggering, especially my really bad moments. And I have empowered myself with the tool of challenging my thoughts because, as I've mentioned here before, not everything you think is true. And there is so much power in claiming that. There is so much power in knowing that your anxiety is indeed lying to you. And you are not your anxiety. And you are no less of a human for it. You are not weak because you experience it. I think there's layers of shame that can come, especially when you're first being aware of or accepting that you are facing a mental health challenge like this. And those truths are really important, but challenging my thoughts, recognizing my intrusive thoughts, and understanding that like that's not true, and just kind of dismantling those as they come has been a huge help. And can help me sometimes diffuse when I feel like I'm going to spiral into a panic attack. Another tool I use is imagery, or imagining very, very specific things. So there, I know that there's like different techniques or practices or different even things you can listen to that'll guide you through, you know, visualization and imagery. But for me, it's more specific and it's more personal. Sometimes I will delve into a really beautiful, I have like an insane memory and I don't think it's normal actually, the detail and the depth to which I remember things. And I feel like it can be a blessing and a curse, but certainly in this case, I choose to deploy it as a blessing and I will call back into my imagination in such vivid sharpness, a very positive and peaceful and grounding memory or experience that I've had. And that can kind of help me. Another way I can do it is to imagine things that bring me joy, my son's face, my puppy, you know, my husband, just those, that does help me so much. The other two things are more physical or literal, breath work. Breathing techniques, there are some, again, different ones, and I think some work better for different people. The box breathing, where you breathe in for four counts, hold for four counts, out for four counts, I really like that one a lot. But there are different ways to do breath work in those moments that it's proven can actually decrease your heart rate and can help you out of those tough moments. Last thing on my list is the progressive muscle relaxation technique. And this is where you like flex your body or flex your muscles so, so, so.